I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, October 29th. The legal sports betting industry has really taken off in the last few years, ever since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a ban and left the question of legality up to states. A recent Pew Research Center survey found about 1 in 5 U.S. adults say they've bet money on sports in the last year. And the majority of states have now legalized some form of sports betting. In fact, the most populous state, California, will vote on 2 propositions about sports betting next month. So what are the potential benefits and consequences of this type of gambling? We're getting 2 interesting perspectives today. Later, you'll hear from an executive at one of the biggest players in the sports betting world, FanDuel. But first, I'm joined by someone who studies gambling for a living, Dr. Timothy Fong. He's a board-certified addiction psychiatrist and the co-director of the Gambling Studies Program at UCLA. We talk about the rise of sports betting, the research so far from the states that have legalized it, and who could be the most vulnerable for addiction. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Dr. Timothy Fong, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me.
So first, can you just simply explain for people why gambling can be so addictive for some people?
Gambling has been part of human nature ever since the dawn of humankind. And essentially, it's risk-taking. It's part of who we are as humans. It's part of just what naturally drives us, like food and sex and sleep and things like that. So it's just part of our DNA. Nowadays, in modern-day society, gambling is everywhere. And really, over the last 25 years, we've seen an explosion of different kinds of gambling, but predominantly in the gambling for money kind of space. And I think that's what we're talking about here today.
Yeah. And specifically sports betting. What's your take or reaction to more states now legalizing sports betting since the 2018 Supreme Court decision? What's the potential impact there?
Well, over the last 4 years, no one would have predicted how fast sports betting has become legalized over the last few years. No one foresaw this. Gambling and sports betting at its core should be about entertainment. It should be about bringing people together. We have to remember there is an addiction side to it. There is a component like tobacco, alcohol, and cannabis, where if it's used excessively or potentially harmfully, it can create problems. So my opinion as we move forward is that, number one, we're not going to get rid of sports betting. We're going to see it embedded more and more in our daily lives. And we have to figure out ways to protect the most vulnerable from developing the most harmful consequences. So people will say to me, well, who's the most vulnerable? Well, it's the ones who are most likely to develop addiction, the people who don't quite understand what they're getting into, young people, adolescents, older adults who are on fixed incomes, people who are already experiencing mental health conditions or active addictive disorders. These are the people that we are concerned about.
Is there any information, any statistics from the states that have already legalized sports betting about how it's going and the impact on the number of people getting addicted?
So some states are reporting signs of increased addiction as reflected by more people calling the problem gambling helplines, or more people showing up to treatment, or more people writing in anonymous emails looking for help. But that doesn't mean there's more addiction. It just means more people are seeking help. And part of the story then is why more people are seeking help is there's more attention to it. There's more billboards. There's more money for prevention and treatment. So the actual signal of is there an increased rate of addiction is unclear because we haven't had time to study that from a large statewide perspective. But there's definitely no doubt in my mind we're seeing more men and women who are being introduced to sports betting that previously never would have. The real question is whether those folks are now developing addiction that previously never would have. And we can't answer that today.
I imagine you think it should be studied further quickly.
Well, absolutely. And the way we think about this, gambling is a public health issue, just like air quality, water quality, tobacco control, alcohol. And we need to study all aspects of gambling, not just gambling addiction, but also just recreational and social gambling. What does this behavior do to just popular culture, our quality of life, just the fabric of how we live?
What about underage betting? And do you think some of the safety measures in place currently with sports betting are enough?
We don't have enough measures that are guaranteed to work well. With mobile sports betting, how do you protect young people from getting on when there's so many ways to get around things like virtual private networks or passwords and other things like that? We know that brick and mortar sports betting, we can do a really good job of preventing anyone under the age of 21 from doing that because they've been doing that for decades. They check IDs, they say no to young people. But when it comes to mobile sports betting, I think that's where we have to actually have a lot more innovation. We go back to this question, why is gambling over 21 an only activity? Well, what we do know is that the younger you are when you start gambling for money, it does raise the risk of gambling addiction. So when I think about that, I think absolutely we need to protect the young people and teach them how to gamble in what I call more healthier and less harmful ways. We want people to learn to gamble. We want people to take risks. We want people to learn how to deal with loss and unexpected results. What we don't want is people to develop an unhealthy relationship with gambling where they turn to gambling as a way of soothing emotions or getting rid of anxiety, or if they view gambling specifically as a way of making money.
When we're talking about sports betting in various states, some are allowing in-person sports betting and some are allowing online as well. How much of a difference do you think that convenience of grabbing your phone can impact the number of people who get addicted or the number of underage people who start gambling?
It certainly changes the gambling experience tremendously. You know, going from driving in, walking in into a casino, spending a few hours with people versus doing it literally in your bathroom on your phone. I mean, that's a very different kind of social experience. But number two, we do have some clear sense that having too much easy access to gambling combined with essentially an unlimited number of bets combined with the third part, an unlimited amount of financial capital. That's the recipe for addiction. It isn't just having access to gambling. You have to have access to money and capital. And I think that's an area on the mobile sports betting that people aren't talking nearly enough about. Because most of these mobile sports betting apps, they don't give you credit. They don't advance you a marker like traditional casinos. You have to put money into your account. Well, if you run out of money and you don't have anything left in your checking account, you're kind of done. But when you have the online space where you can get payday loans and online loans very quickly and fill up your account, I think that's the combination there. So it's not just 24/7 access. It's 24/7 access with 24/7 access to money that can fill up the gambling account.
And finally, what's your advice for someone dealing with a gambling addiction themselves or for those who have a loved one that they want to help?
The good news is that throughout America, we have gambling treatment specialists. We have help that works. We have evidence-based treatments that really work. Calling a gambling helpline like 1-800-GAMBLER, which works throughout America, will get you in line with the professional treatment providers who know how to treat gambling disorder and prevent it from getting worse.
So what about the potential benefits of sports betting, even beyond entertainment? Still ahead, I'm talking with the chief commercial officer at a dominating company in the online sports betting market. You've probably heard of them, FanDuel. Mike Raffensperger shares why some state lawmakers and professional sports leagues have embraced sports betting, his vision for the industry's future. And I ask him about how FanDuel keeps minors and others from taking the game too far. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With virtual interviews, Indeed makes it easy to connect with your applicants. No need to install anything extra. Indeed's virtual interview tool works from your browser. In fact, based on Indeed's U.S. data, most employers said Indeed's virtual interviews save them days of hiring time. So join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in the database that match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/newsworthy to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/newsworthy. Indeed.com/newsworthy. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The Newsworthy is also brought to you by ZocDoc. It's almost that time of year where your health insurance plan is going to be top of mind. The open enrollment period is when you'll be signing up for next year's coverage. And whether you're switching plans or not, you may be looking for new doctors. Well, ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. It'll help you sort through doctors that are in-network and in your neighborhood. And it shows you availability right there. Plus, the mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant, allowing you to search, find, and book doctors with a few taps. You can choose to book an appointment in person or remotely. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc, and I look at it whenever I need to find a new doctor. Go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/newsworthy, ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. Okay, now to my conversation with FanDuel's Mike Raffensperger. Mike, thanks for joining us here on The Newsworthy.
Erica, thanks for having me.
So legal sports betting is projected to be a $129 billion industry by 2028. And it was only 4 years ago in 2018 that the Supreme Court reversed a federal ban on commercial sports betting and basically left it up to the states instead. A majority of states have now legalized sports gambling. Were you surprised by how quickly states have acted on this?
I guess yes and no. I think we have a long-term outlook where, you know, a significant majority of the country will legalize and regulate sports wagering because it is common sense legislation. You can turn that into a regulated market that creates great tax revenues for the states. I think the demonstrated success of states like New Jersey, which was leading that Supreme Court case and then was the first to legislate, legalize, and regulate online sports betting. And it's been tremendously successful for that state. It's created new tax revenue, a lot of new industry, new jobs. It's been very successful among constituents. It's been a safe marketplace that's kept minors and others, you know, that shouldn't be in a sports betting marketplace, you know, out of the market. And so I think states have looked at the success, the popularity, and frankly, the tax outcome of earlier states and have followed suit.
The NFL even used to oppose legalized sports gambling, and now it's being promoted during games. Explain why they changed their tune.
You know, this is something that is quite pervasive, whether it's legal or not. And it can be a great source of revenue, certainly for the leagues. We have commercial relationships with them. It really engages the fans. You know, we've actually commissioned a custom piece of research with Nielsen that shows sports bettors consume 31% more sports content than non-bettors. There's just so many ways that sports betting can deepen your interest level, the engagement, the enjoyment you get from sports, and very demonstrably that translates into more consumption of sports content. And that's good for the leagues. And so I think they've recognized that.
I'm curious to learn a bit more about in-game betting. How far into a game can someone place a bet? And what are some of the most popular things that people place bets on?
This is an underknown fact. About half of all the bets that we take at FanDuel actually take place after the game has started. You know, people still like to bet on the outcome of the game, who's going to win. But they also, and this is, again, particularly true with the NBA, but it's true with really all the leagues, you see a real growing popularity in player markets. So, you know, I think that Saquon Barkley is going to run for over 80 yards this game. And again, it's just a way of making the game more engaging.
Is college sports involved in this at all?
College sports betting is very popular. I wouldn't say rises quite to the popularity of professional, but as you'd expect, college football is very popular. March Madness coming up next year is almost a gambling institution. Each state is a little bit different. Some states have regulated that you can bet on college athletics, but you can't bet on teams within their state. So there is a little operational grit to running my business where we have to follow the rules and the law of the land in each individual state. But certainly college athletics, it's very popular in terms of players betting on those sports.
Do the schools themselves then profit from sports betting?
They do not. You know, we have stayed away from specifically sponsoring athletic departments, certainly any name and likeness with the athletes involved, given that they're minors in a lot of the case. So, you know, we have stayed away from that as a kind of matter of policy.
Obviously, gambling addiction is a real problem for many people, and statistics show that teens and young adults are even at higher risk. So if we're making gambling as easy as getting out your phone during your favorite game, are there real consequences? What's the potential fallout?
It's easy to forget. Just prior to 2018, or in states where, you know, a company like FanDuel isn't legal, does not mean that online gambling doesn't exist. In fact, it's quite vast. And it is very, very easy to go and bet online with essentially illegal websites that operate offshore from the United States. They have none of the protections, the policies, and the team that FanDuel has in place. So to directly address your question, you know, first off, it is bank level identity requirement verifications where no one under the age of 21 is able to play on our sites. You know, we endeavor to have no bet placed on our system harm someone. And so we have over 100 dedicated employees that are focused on responsible gaming and compliance. We're building automated tools that understand play pattern of behavior, where if someone's, you know, betting activity on our site suddenly changes or acts quite unusually, that can get flagged to the appropriate systems that have outcomes ranging all the way up to, you know, we actually stop taking wagers from individuals on our site, direct them to a lot of different partner organizations that we fund and work very closely with that are there to help with individuals who, again, may not be able to play within their means.
You've described gaming as a disruptive force in sports. What does that mean?
Sports is getting closer and closer to the fan, and that point of interaction is often getting more personal and more interactive. And the second screen is this colloquialism around media companies where you're watching on the big screen on television, but you've got the second screen, your phone, in your hand. And many, many, many companies have been trying to crack this nut because entertainment, sports in particular, is becoming more and more interactive. Twitter is one of the very successful second screen companies. I think FanDuel is one of the others. And that's what I mean by kind of this disruptive force where sports is moving from something you follow and watch passively to something you're much more engaged and lean forward in. And, you know, that gaming experience, that fantasy experience, that sports betting experience is a huge part of, I think, that trend in sports at large.
Well, thank you so much to both of our guests today for coming on the show and sharing so many insights. By the way, if you want to hear more from our first guest, Dr. Fong, UCLA is hosting a webinar next Friday, November 4th, about how expanding sports betting in California could impact public health. And of course, you can learn more about FanDuel at FanDuel.com. Tune in on Monday for our next regular episode where we deliver the day's news in about 10 minutes. Our daily news roundups are available every weekday morning. And then we're back here on Saturdays digging into a different topic each week. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.